Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman. Here, as always, with Mike Morreale. Mike, we are home from the NHL Scouting Combine. Three great podcasts that we were able to record with Gavin McKenna, with Ivar Stenberg, with Mark Leach, a Toronto Maple Leafs Director of Amateur Scouting. The Ruck brothers, Marcus and Liam Ruck, that was fun. And just a great week of being around all the prospects, right? It's my most fun event of the year.
Absolutely. We able to talk to not only the prospects for the podcast, but just to get them one-on-one for stories that we're pumping out right now. You can check out NHL.com. Tons of content leading up to the draft on June 26, 27 in Buffalo. So you can check that out. Now, look, right, Adam, Gavin McKenna, he declined an opportunity to play for Canada at the World Championship in order to prepare for the Combine. And there's no question that I think he really nailed it. I mean, he had a real good Combine. You were following him around, having to do the main testing story here. What did you kind of pick up in some of the events that he really scored well in?
Well, the fact that he finished in the top 20 in seven different events in the fitness testing kind of says the decision he made to go out to Kelowna to train for the Combine, it was the right decision. It paid off. And look, and regardless of the numbers, you talk to NHL scouts, talk to NHL general managers, they want to see the competitiveness. They see what they want to see, the fight. They want to see the finish. They want to see what these guys do in, let's face it, a weird environment. You walk into this giant testing room. You walk into this, it's not a regular gym. It's a converted hockey rink. There's a handful of general managers, scouts, and strength coaches from all 32 teams just staring at you to seeing how you look in your tank top and shorts and sneakers and how you lift, how you run. It's not a normal setting. And for him to come out and really fight through and do a good job says well about, and it's just, to me, it's just another part of the stew that's going to lead to him being the number one pick in the draft.
Yep. Ivar Stenberg, who is the other top left wing of this draft class, and many think could go two, maybe could go three or four. We'll see. Maybe could be a number one pick for the Leafs. Who knows? But Ivar Stenberg did not test. He sat out, as did defenseman Carson Carles, who we think will go top 10, of course, in this draft as well. Viggo Bjork, the centerman, really scored well here at the Combine, really made an impressive showing. Those 16 pull-ups, in fact, really pushing the third best with the pull-ups. So it was really an impressive weekend, Adam. And, this week on Draft Class, this week's episode, we have Nick Smith, who's going to discuss with us a lot of the Ontario Hockey League players, including Caleb Malhotra, who, of course, scored well at the Combine and who many project to be that top center of this draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nick covers the Ontario Hockey League as well as anybody else. So let's bring Nick in. Nick, thank you for joining us today in NHL Draft Class.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Good to see you guys again.
Good to see you, Nick. Right at the top here, Nick, let's go. This draft has several high-end defensemen expected to probably go relatively early in the first round here. One of them being Chase Reed of Sault Ste. Marie in the O. You've had several viewings of Reed the past two seasons, Nick. What strikes you about his play as a premier, at a premier position here?
I just think, when you watch him, there's no holes in his game. With his size, his skating, he's an underrated skater, in my opinion. I've watched him. He flies when he wants to. He's good defensively. He can make plays out of nothing. He's dynamic, can captain the power play. And he seems like a great kid. You guys met him at the Combine. There's something about him. I think, he's going to be that player. I think he's got a chance to be a number one. I said the same thing about Schaefer. It's hard to compare him to Schaefer with what he's done this year. But I think you're going to get a pretty good player out of him.
So Nick, I think you could say the same thing about a couple of the top centers in this year's draft, and that seem to have separated themselves from the pack. And one of them appears to be Brantford's Caleb Malhotra. He could go as high as maybe number three in the draft. And I think that would be whether his father is coaching the team or not. But if a team selects Caleb Malhotra that high up, what are they getting in him and what's his ceiling?
Ooh, he's, his ceiling's really high. You know, you're getting a character player. It's like when you look at him, you look, he's a hockey player. He's ready to go. He's mature beyond his years. You know, he's good size down the middle. He can make plays. He's really solid defensively. And he's very, like, his sense is off the charts. Like, he's one of those players that he knows where to put pucks to protect them. He knows how to use his body. He can score. He can dish. You know, and he's, you know, people say he was the captain at the prospects game, but he's a leader. He could be that franchise player for sure.
Hey, Nick, I'm curious. Can you tell through the scouting lens a player that has pedigree? And in this instance, we're talking about Caleb, you know, having a father that played for so many years in the NHL. Can you sense that when you watch particular players that, yeah, this kid is, you know, is already ahead of the rest of the pack because his dad was such a great player in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going in blind, I mean, it would take some time to you know, to realize, to build up to that consistency. Like, he's a pro already. He brings it. And I think that's one of the hardest things as a young player to figure out is how to be consistent and how to be a good pro. You know, we go to all these games and we expect the best, and, you know, they have an off night and you're like, oh, you know, I traveled all that way and blah, blah, blah. But I know myself, being honest, it took me a long time to learn how to be a good pro, probably in my early 20s. I'm sure other coaches would disagree, but it takes a while to learn. And when you got a kid like him, he's, you know, he comes to play every night. He competes. And you know, that's from, I'm sure Manny's done a good job, and both his parents, and, you know, saying the right things in his ear and being around the rink, and it you know, he's got it.
So right wing Nikita Klepov and left wing Ethan Belchez are ranked numbers 8 and 9 respectively on Central's list. Nick, what do you feel gives Klepov the slight edge, and is Belchez the best power forward of this draft class?
It's hard to argue that Belchez isn't the best power forward because of his size. Like, he's just a big, big, lanky guy that, you know, he'll fight. He goes to the net hard. He's very hard to contain in front of the net. And he has sense around the top of the circles down. He can make plays. He can hang on to pucks. But I think, you know, but the difference of the two of them for me is Klepov is a top six forward. Like, his explosiveness and creativity and the things he does on the half wall and the power play, his sense, the way, you know, he sees it, and he competes too. So I think, you know, Belchez has a chance to be a top six, but even if he, you know, kind of falls into that bottom six role, you know, Klepov's got a better chance at a top six, I guess.
So I want to ask you about Brooks Rogowski, Nick, from Oshawa. He's a pretty intriguing prospect, certainly because of his size. He measured in at 6'7 1/4 and 235 pounds at the combine. I think he was the second largest player there. He missed some time this season with an injury, had a little bit of a lesser role for the U.S. of the World under 18. So maybe there were a couple fewer viewings on him than you would some of the other top guys. But when you were able to watch him, what stood out about his game, and what are teams going to get if they decide he's a guy they want to add to their roster?
Well, I think he got criticized a little bit just, you know, with his numbers and maybe offensive input. But, you know, when you look at, and he's rated higher than the players, you know, in the past. I've been doing this, you know, 3 years, so I'm trying to rely on a little bit of, you know, inexperience and whatever. But when you look at Nathan Aspinall this year, and you look at Kieran Walton this year, you know, they had dominant years in the OHL, really solid offensive years, and he's way ahead for me. He's way ahead of those two guys in their draft year. Like I said, we have him ranked higher, but, you know, I like his game because he's hard on pucks. He works hard. You know, he can easily be a bottom six guy down the middle, you know, kill penalties with that reach. And he got in a really, really spirited fight this year against a really tough kid in Sudbury. So, he showed a little pushback in his game. And if I'm honest with his offensive output, he didn't have a ton. You know, Oshawa was such a young team this year. I mean, I like Griffin makes things happen with him, but there just wasn't the supporting cast that other guys had this year, I guess.
Yeah, committed to Michigan State University. I think he's going to turn 18 just 2 days prior to round one of the draft. So I'm curious to see where Brooks does go here. It's going to be interesting. Left wing Ryan Rubrek offers real good size, Nick. Put up good numbers for Niagara this season. 30 goals, 58 points. What are his strengths, and where does he need to improve maybe to be effective at the next level?
Yeah, so he's a tricky one. He's got that size. He's got good hands. He's got sense. And, you know, one of his biggest strengths is he might have the best release in the draft. Like he can really fire it. He can shoot it, gets it off quick. Obviously has a nose for the net with the numbers he's put up. I think his the things he needs to work on is, you know, the compete thing, the, you know, consistency, you know, his play away from the puck, you know, the 200-foot game. I think that's where, you know, he got a little stagnant this year. So I'm hoping for him, because, you know, he's such a gifted player that maybe a little change of scenery next year will help him and kind of propel him, you know, to get to that next level.
So, Nick, for kind of what Mike and I do, we look at the stories in the background on the guys, and Jackson Culver from London, his story is a great one, from inline skating growing up in the Cayman Islands to now possibly a first round NHL draft pick. But just sort of beyond that, what kind of player is he? And is there maybe a higher ceiling for him because of he made that transition to ice hockey a bit later than some of the other kids in this year's draft class?
I would say 100%. You know, he's even, you know, seeing him at St. Andrews and seeing him last year, his trajectory's on the rise. You could tell he's got a ton of skill. He's got some sense, you know, and talking to him, I got a really good feel, you know, for him at the combine, having some really good conversations. Seems like he's a really level-headed kid. He's telling me, you know, he's going to go back to London. He wants to develop, which is great to hear, because, you know, a lot of the players are looking for that next level, and, you know, and he's content being there and wants to work on his game, and he had a great attitude.
The great thing about the combine, Nick, is you always, or, you know, Adam and I always uncover these other stories that just by chance happen to fall into your lap. And obviously we knew about Jackson, you know, being from the Cayman Islands and the inline skating and all. And then I find out, you know, Ryder Cali from North Bay, right? Born in Switzerland. And he was also played 2 years in the Caymans. And he and Jackson played together for a year and a half, 2 years. So just some great stories there that, you know, you always uncover. It's nice to see these kids get together. They took a picture together. They said it was like old times again when they saw each other at the combine. So that was great stuff. So my final one here, Nick, you know, any player from the O that we didn't discuss, you feel, you know, with the proper development, you know, could make or could become a good NHL player one day?
I guess I have to go down the list, but one of the players that sticks out is Thomas Vandenberg in Ottawa. I just like his 200-foot game. He plays with pace. He competes, you know, shows up every night. I think he's, you know, to get 25 goals on a team like that. And he was pretty much the go-to guy for Ottawa, who is a really solid team this year. And as a really young player, like, he's born September 8th, you know, a week away from being eligible next year. So, I mean, he's a guy that, that I've always liked. And Barbanov too. Barbanov's like, got to give him a mention. Just, you know, the smart guys figure it out. They figure out a way to play. And Barbanov's got that sense. I mean, he's a couple years older than everybody, but he you know, him and Klepov, they work some magic this year. You know, it makes the guys around them better. So there's, yeah, a couple guys to look out for.
Well, that's great stuff. We'll keep an eye out on those guys and all the other players coming out of the Ontario Hockey League this year. But, Nick, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks, guys. Always good chatting with you.
We talked about the great defensemen that are in this year's draft, and Chase Reed, clearly right at the top of that class. I like what he said, you know, there's no holes in his game, that Maybe he is the number two pick in the draft. Maybe he is the first of these top end defensemen to get selected.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions, right, Adam, when you consider where Reed's going to go in this draft. And we've been saying it all along. San Jose has the number two pick. Each of us expects McKenna to go number one to the Maple Leafs. Let's get that out of the way first and foremost. But at number two, it's almost like San Jose is going to set the table for the remainder of the draft. I mean, and there's talk out there, you know, would they actually trade out, knowing that a lot of teams may like Ivar Stenberg? Or will San Jose draft Stenberg and then make a trade later on? But Reed, to me, and we had Reed going, each of us, in our mock drafts to San Jose at number two. He's that defenseman. He's just very consistent. He played a very consistent game. And I totally get where, you know, Nick was coming from when he was speaking with us. You know, you kind of get the feel of a Zach Werenski type player when you watch, you know, Reed play this year. Obviously, he faced a lot of adversity when, you know, he was sent down from the USHL to the NAHL in 24-25. You know, that NCAA rule kind of changed and opened up the possibility of CHL hockey. So, you know, now he's committed to Michigan State, where he is going to attend next season, and that's going to be another feather in his cap to improve his game, develop his game. But talking to him at the combine, remember, Adam, he was like, yeah, he goes, you know, I'm looking forward to Michigan State, but if I can get to development camp, training camp for whatever NHL team drafts me, I'm going to try to push and do the best I can to make that team. Because let's face it, I mean, honestly, like, look, we know what Matthew Schaefer was able to accomplish with the Islanders this year, but I got to be honest, I was, you know, I really didn't expect him to jump right into the NHL after what he went through the previous season, only playing 17 games with Erie and then getting injured in World Juniors. So Schaefer surprised all of us, and maybe Reed will be that player too that can surprise. Who knows?
I mean, there's certainly that possibility. I think for him, you know, I think Schaefer's a different animal, right? Like, obviously, nobody expected him to step into the Islanders lineup and score 22 goals and become their number one defenseman. I think Chase Reed's just a little bit of a different situation. College, I think, is the best option for him because he still needs to fill out physically, right? He's 6'2", but he's only 185 pounds. He needs to get a little bit stronger. I still think, you know, number one, I'm not sold on San Jose being the team that makes that pick.
Right. Not either. Yeah.
You know, but listen, there's no wrong answer, I don't think, to the question. When you look at Chase Reed, you know, Keaton Verhoeff, Albert Smits, Carson Carroll, Daxon Rudolph, stack them up however you want. I think you're looking at the potential for five top pair defensemen. So who do you want? Which way do you go? Chase Reed, the right-handed shot, great skater, power play quarterback. But I think having that opportunity to go to college, play NCAA hockey, we saw it this year, right? With the guys who either 1 year after being drafted or in their draft year, how much of a huge help that was getting to play NCAA hockey, bigger, stronger, more physically developed competition. You know, I'm in Philadelphia. I saw it with Porter Martone, how he grew, you know, not just, you know, physically, but just how he grew, was able to handle bigger, stronger players, was a huge reason he had the impact he did in the NHL this season. And I think Chase Reed, you know, not this season, but next season, or maybe even the end of the 26-27 season, I think he's got a chance to be an impact player for somebody. But I think college hockey would be a huge help for him making that in-between step.
Yeah, and you know, the odd thing is this year, usually you have a plethora and a whole ton of, you know, left-handed shots, and this year it seems like the right-handers are really pushing the pace, right? Chase, and that is a right-hander. You know, you have Keaton Verhoeff, another player who go top 10, is a right-hander. And Daxon Rudolph is also a right-hander. Albert Smits shoots with the left. And, you know, Carson Carroll's shoots with the left. So it's going to be interesting to see where these defensemen call. I think once one falls, goes off the board, you may see a little bit of a run. But there may be a Ford or, you know, a Caleb Melhulcher or maybe a Viggo Bjork to maybe go in between. But there's going to be a lot of defensemen here taken among this top 10, top 12. And the other player I just wanted to touch on that I thought Nick, you know, spoke very highly about, Adam, was Nikita Klepov of Saginaw. from Deerfield Beach, Florida. A lot of scouts told me that kind of a comparable here is a Cole Perfetti. But Klepov was unreal this year in the O. Led all Ontario League skaters in points this season in his first year. I think he joined Patrick Kane as the only rookies in the past 25 years to lead the OHL in scoring. So just a really good shot, and just the presence of him this year, elite playmaking with that vision and the passing ability. He plays with a high motor from the video that I've seen on him this year. So Klepov to me is a player that it's going to be interesting to see where he falls in this draft. Now, he wasn't at the combine, but obviously there's a lot of video, and I think teams will be able to meet with him prior to the draft. So it's going to be interesting to see where Klepov falls. I think he certainly might be in that top 15, top 20 range, Adam.
Oh, for sure. And just to double back on what you said about Klepov, first rookie to lead the OHL in scoring since Patrick Kane in 06-07, first American-born player to lead the OHL in scoring since Jason Robertson in 2018-19, and I believe he also is going to Michigan State in the fall. So let's just take a minute there. Chase Reed, Nikita Klepov, and Ethan Belchez. All will be in East Lansing next season, among other things. You know, like, we talk about how good NCAA hockey is getting. My goodness, Adam Nightingale is on a run there, the Michigan State coach, as far as recruiting some real top-end talent there.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Michigan State, you know, the rich just get richer there. And obviously he's going to be one of the favorites. But look, you know, if college hockey was the best we've ever seen it, and we've spoken to a lot of the scouts, Adam, and that's what they've told us, that's what we've seen this year, it's going to be two times better next year with all these players moving in. I mean, there are a few that are going to stick with their major junior teams another year. Tommy Blyle, for instance, is going to spend one more season in Moncton before he goes to college. So it's going to be interesting to see the college game next season and how much it's improved over this season. And this season was pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. And I talked to a couple of guys when we were up at the combine about, you know, proof of concept, right? They saw what McKenna did. They saw what, you know, Martone did. They saw what Verhoff did. They said, all right, work for them, it can work for me. And that's sort of going to be that next stepping stone between junior hockey and the NHL, NCAA. You get sort of the best of both worlds, time to practice, time in the gym, time against older, bigger, stronger competition. So, yeah, it's something to look for. It is a huge, huge game changer for a prospect development here moving forward.
Absolutely. And for fans out there, Adam and I just posted our mock drafts after the combine. And, wow, wouldn't you know it, Adam? Top four. We have the same players going in our top four, but then it starts to get a little, you know, mixed up with
you go players. Off the rails. You go off the rails.
The players are all in the same vicinity.
Yeah.
But of course, I got it the right order. They're in the same vicinity, but I got the right order, and you tried your best to keep up. And I think you did it was a nice effort, but fans can go check out both our mock drafts. And, you know, if you want to take one and put it in your back pocket, make sure you print out mine.
Well, it'll be shorter, much like a lot of things you do. I think they put something in your Dunkin' this morning there, pal. But by the way, as Mike said, you can see our mock drafts and all the other copy we generated at NHL.com, NHL.com/draft as well. We've got feature stories. We've got links to the podcast. We had, as we said earlier, Gavin McKenna and Ivar Stenberg were on with us at the Combine. Marcus and Liam Ruck. We've also talked to NHL Central Scouting to cover the best in the Quebec Hockey League, the best in Europe. You heard Nick Smith today with the best in the Ontario League. John Williams did the best in the Western Hockey League. Absolutely go back, listen, subscribe. Free to download anywhere you enjoy your podcasts. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.